Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, 26 volumes of sermons given by Mormon leaders over about a 50-year period during the 19th century, trying to give you a little bit of an idea of what life was like living as a Mormon in 19th century Utah. Today we are looking at the subject of authority and what Mormon leaders expect of the membership when it comes to obedience to their teachings and their words. So we're going to start off with Volume 5, a quote by Wilford Woodruff, who would become the fourth president of the Mormon Church. Wilford Woodruff was the one who was really responsible for bringing about the Manifesto in 1890, which supposedly ended the practice of polygamy within the Mormon Church. But what does he say on page 83, Eric?
He says this on April 9th, 1857. If the prophet of God should tell me that a certain principle or theory which I might have learned was not true, I do not care what my ideas might have been. I should consider it my duty, at the suggestion of my file leader, to abandon that principle or theory. Supposing he were to say that the principles by which you are governed are not right, that you were incorrect, what would be my duty? I answer that it would be my duty to lay these principles aside and to take those that might be laid down by the servants of God.
Now, what causes us as Bible-believing Christians some concern over this is it we see this kind of thought throughout the Journal of Discourses, throughout many of the sermons that were given by the leadership of the LDS Church. And it's given in such a way as it sounds as if there is absolutely no room for rebuttal. When a Mormon leader tells you something, even if you disagree with it, you are supposed to set aside what you believe and go along with what that leader has told you.
Well, look what Brigham Young said throughout. I mean, Volume 5, he said that the prophet and seer is the mouthpiece of God. In Volumes 12 and 16, he said he never gave a word of wrong counsel. And he said in Volume 13 that his words were as good as Scripture. This is a theme that is repeated over and over throughout, that somebody like Brigham Young, who obviously was the main player in the 19th century, was to be trusted and believed even when you thought he might be wrong.
I think our listeners need to understand, we are not saying that you should always approach your religious leaders with suspicion. Certainly you need to have a certain level of trust. I know in Christian settings, we should trust what our pastors are saying. We should trust what the elders in our church are telling us. There should be a trust level. There's nothing wrong with that. But when they take that trust level to this type of an extreme, making it almost as if you are in sin if you were to even raise a question regarding what you were being told, and you better abandon it no matter what, even if you still insist you're right, that becomes troubling.
Now, listen to what Heber C. Kimball said in Volume 6, page 32. He says, if you are told by your leader to do a thing, do it. None of your business whether it is right or wrong.
Now, wait a minute. None of our business, whether it's right or wrong. It is our business.
It absolutely is. The Bible's very clear that we are to contend for the faith. And 1 John 4:1 says we're supposed to test the spirits. Jesus over and over talked about how false prophets could lead us astray. So we have to ask those important questions, or we're likely to end up in the cult that Mormonism is.
Couldn't it be said that this kind of teaching, this kind of mindset is what led to the Mountain Meadows Massacre? I mean, when they have the higher authorities over the membership telling them, hey, we're going to go and we're going to wipe out a wagon train. If you've been told this kind of stuff all along, and notice one of these quotes is September 6, 1857. That's just 5 days before the Mountain Meadows Massacre took place. Now, I doubt if they had heard this message in southern Utah at this particular time, because word didn't travel quite as quickly as it does today. But certainly we see this pattern. The first quote you gave out of Volume 5, Abandon Your Thoughts When the Leader Contradicts Them, that's Wilford Woodruff on April 9th, 1857. Yeah. Now, certainly that one probably traveled down to South Utah. Sure. And so this is where it can be very dangerous. And it's just amazing to me.
I mean, when you trust somebody more than you trust what God's Word says, you're going to end up possibly creating a terrible mistake for yourself. Jim Jones, I mean, that might be an extreme. Some people would say, well, we're not going to drink the Kool-Aid. Well, in many ways.
You do realize there's a lot of people listening probably don't even know what you just talked
Jim
about.
Jim Jones in 1979 had 1,000 people commit suicide. He ended up getting killed as well. In Guyana, he started off supposedly as a Christian pastor and ended up going just really nuts and took them down to Guyana and the rest is history. It's an amazing story of how many people like that or Heaven's Gate. All those people who were trying to catch the tail end of the Hale-Bopp Comet. I mean, you can go down all the different groups. And yes, some of them are really wacky. I agree with that. But just because something might look like it's a great institution, family, so many things going for it, doesn't necessarily mean it has truth to it. You could be involved in something that is contradicting what the Bible has talked about. And the Bible, again, warns us of wolves who are dressing up in sheep's clothing. They're looking for those whom they may devour. And why not? You don't try to pass off a $30 counterfeit. You'd go with a $20. You try to make it look as original as possible.
When I go to church and I'm sitting listening to my pastor speak, and he's speaking on spiritual issues, certainly there's going to be some things that are going to, I guess you could say the message is going to come into my temporal realm, as far as there is a certain type of behavior that I as a Christian should follow. And so he might mention certain things, and I think sometimes these things are overlooked. I mean, and we should try to direct our lives in a way that honors God, of course. But here's what Brigham Young said. This is found in Volume 11, page 298 of the Journal of Discourses. And Brigham Young says this, "Now ask the Father in the name of Jesus whether I am telling you the truth about temporal things or not. And the same Spirit that bore witness to you that baptism by immersion is the correct way according to the Scriptures will bear witness that the man whom God calls to dictate affairs in the building up of his Zion has the right to dictate about everything connected with the building up of Zion. Yes, even to the ribbons the women wear, and any person who denies it is ignorant. There is not a man or woman in the world who rises up against this principle, but what is ignorant. All such are destitute of the spirit of revelation and enjoy not the spirit of Christ." Even down to the ribbons in your hair, and we've noticed that Mormon leaders have kind of crept into that area where it was actually announced in one, I think it was General Conference, that women could not have more than one earring in each ear. When they start dictating things like this, I'm wondering, are you really crossing the line of propriety? I mean, is that really a sin, or is that just the preference of a leader in the Mormon church? See, we would take what we hear from the pulpit and we would compare it with what it says in the Word of God.
And that's what the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17, and they were considered to be most noble because they checked out what an apostle was saying. I mean, here Paul is preaching, and they wanted to see what it was. And instead of getting angry with them for checking him out, he encouraged them and said they were more noble than another group of people from another city.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem that we find, that at least I do, with Mormonism is sometimes it's this personal preference of the leadership that's coming across the pulpit rather than really scripture that supports it. Couldn't that have been the same thing with Joseph Smith? Obviously, we see it's the same thing with Brigham Young. He's bringing out issues that really aren't supported by scripture. God doesn't care what ribbon you have in your hair, folks. I'm sorry. And for Brigham Young to make that some kind of test of duty is troubling to us. And yet we find that many Latter-day Saints do have the attitude that if their leader tells them to do something, just as you read from Heber C. Kimball, I'm going to obey them, and it's not my business whether they are right or wrong. And I would strongly object to that. It most certainly is your business to know whether it's right or wrong, because if you don't, folks, that's cultish. It's cultish when you allow these leaders to tell you just about anything and you are expected to be in lockstep. This is why there is a division within the Mormon Church, what I would probably call the Sunstone Mormons, who are more liberal in the Mormon context. But I find going to Sunstone conferences, at least the people there tend to think more deeply than maybe some of the, what they hear at General Conference, where they take everything as being from the mouth of God, when certainly it's not, but they assume it is. There's a problem here. They need to think through these things.
Well, I mean, it can involve big things. It can involve little things. Just recently, the church has come out to say that it's okay to drink the caffeinated drinks. That was not part of the Word of Wisdom. I'm wondering how many people blindly just accepted that and now are blindly accepting that it's now okay. I mean, how do you determine? You have to get personal revelation in this church. You have to pray about it and see if it's true. But if it goes against what these leaders are saying, I would think most Mormons would say that that's not true initially. But these guys go back and forth on issues. And we've talked about this with the things that were believed in the 19th century are no longer believed in the 21st century. Major issues. And when you go back and listen to these shows, how do we know that these men are really telling the truth?
Well, when you have Brigham Young telling you, if you disagree with me, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. Well, what's a member supposed to think? Well, if my leader's telling me that, I've got to be in the wrong, and so they manipulate them. Now, as I was mentioning before, though, there are some thinkers in the Mormon Church that find this to be difficult, and they are usually considered the troublemakers in the Mormon Church. They are like the rogues, but there are some within the Mormon Church that are starting to think this through. Now, they will probably never get a calling in the church that's very high because they don't want independent thinking in the Mormon church. They want people to be lockstep. Have you ever wondered why they all wear dark suits, white shirts when they go to church?
That's a good point.
It's almost like a uniform with them.
You try to wear a red shirt to a meeting and see what happens.
It's not that it never happens. It's just that it's very rare.
Yeah.
And that ought to tell us something. There's something wrong here. We're going to continue this discussion when it comes to the authority and the duty on the part of the Mormon Church to listen to their leadership and how that was brought out at the Women's Conference held a week before General Conference in 2012.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.